holding my hair back when I vomited. I was blessed. Amen. They just took real good care of me. Y'all prayed for me. You know, so many texts came to me that in phone calls during the days and just thinking of me. And I so appreciate your prayers. I could feel them. And I'm getting healed in the name of Jesus. And just some fluid in the ear. But they're, you know, you guys that are veterans here would have been to the doctor and you got them on your speed dial, right? I'm getting there. Amen. I got some doctors on my speed dial. But they're just finding out what that's going to be this week. So be in prayer. I'm receiving my healing. Amen. I'm claiming it. Amen. Jesus takes away all my diseases, right? So we're good. Irma, by the way, because I always tell you about where the first lady's at. If she's not here on the front row cheering me on, saying amen, waving the hanky, give me the stink face as I preach. We had to get my mom-in-law, in Brownsville. She lives 4 hours away. Blood pressure, heart things going on. So we had to take a quick trip to Brownsville yesterday. And then we got back, believe it or not, like at 2 in the morning. We're going to let my wife go by herself and that sort of thing. So I want you to lift up my mother-in-law, lift up Irma. She's with my mom and seeing about doctors and that sort of thing. Just pray for Mary and pray for Irma, amen. And so if I got to bed about 2 o'clock, amen, everybody can stay awake, right, today? Amen. No excuse, amen. We should be joyful in the house of God. We all have something that challenged us to get here. Give me a good amen. Something happened to you this week, but look, now I'm in the house of God, amen? What is God going to do in my life now, amen? Because I made it, all right, everybody? So we're going on. Give me a good amen. Yeah, the devil don't know who he's messing with, amen? We may fall down, but we're going to get up again, right? So we've been serving a lot. We've been doing a lot. It's been an extraordinary busy season. We built a building, and so, you know, there's a thing called the summer slump, where literally our spirits can sink. And so my thought was to bring a series about restoration, not about being spiritually restored, but being restored not only spiritually, but in your soul, and your body gets depleted also. In January, we call a 21-day fast. And I just remembered something. We call a 21-day fast, and we usually fast, but this period of time, what we're doing right now is doing a fast by spurts, and I'll explain that in a moment. For 6 days, I want you to fast something and go along with me on that, and I believe it will change your life today. Show me the first slide, guys. I'm going to interject this real quick. I thought about all of our blessed students here that were so beautiful as they lined up, and all of our blessed teachers and administration. And when the devil hits us, I don't know about you, I want to come back out fighting. How about you? And so we got hit hard. But I'm going to come back. And so I thought about, what can I do to the devil that would get him mad and get him upset? Oh, no, Pastor, what are you going to do? The devil is toothless. He's a growler. But you give him power by your words. You give him power by your attitude. You give him power by what you give into. And so he's a quitter also, because Jesus was the one that finished his assignment. The devil's anti-Christ, so he does everything. He quits. And if he sees a persistent spirit and an enduring spirit, that's why you shouldn't give up on your job. That's why you shouldn't quit. Give me a good amen. Because you will outlast the devil. So I'm outlasting the devil. Tomorrow morning at 7:30, we'll meet in our student center. Those that can, I realize many of you are going back to school. You're going to be on different assignments, taking children. You're busy, folks. But some of us can go. Some of us can be at 7:30 at the student center, and we're going to bless J students. They need the blessing of God also. Can you imagine when they drive by and Christina's made some signs that she'll tell you about that you can help her with, like, God bless your new school year, or we're here to bless you. And we have some donuts out there, and we have some juice out there, and everything's free, and they can come by and grab a donut. We can say, hey, man, we believe in you. You're a champion. You're going to make it. And maybe a teacher will even drop by. I don't know. And we can say, we're going to pray for your school year. We know you have a tough thing to do, but we believe in you, amen. And so at 7:30, if you'll join me, amen, I'm going to be out there. Christina's promised to be out there. So maybe you'll be part of the promise group, amen, out there. Amen. Give me a good amen and be part of that. So try that with me. Just all it takes is you. Take a breath mint, especially if you pray with people. Amen. Give me a good amen. You want bad breath in the morning. Man Up is coming. And Michael Francisi's a guy that was actually in the mafia. I don't know how he stayed alive. Maybe the brothers in the Witness Protection Program. But he's out there speaking to churches. He'll come via YouTube to Living Faith. Thank God we have Apple TV here. And he'll give his powerful testimony about how he was once a crime boss in one of the families of the mafia. And now, you know, he serves God the Father. And how what a real man is, it's not being a boss in the crime family, it's serving God. And just real good speaker. You're going to enjoy him. But I'm doing something a little bit different because of what we need to do. We're going to serve an Italian feast, spaghetti and meatballs. It's my favorite. How about you? No, nobody's not. I like lasagna, but let me get on before I get hungry. Amen. But anyway, we're going to have $5 a man. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Make sure that you sign up. You can bring $5. It pays for you, and it'll be a blessing to us. If you show up without signing up, there might not. I'll have the meatball, okay? I'm going to take your meatball away from you. So make sure you sign up so we know how much to cook. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. Bring your sons Monday the 29th. And finally, one of the last things I tell you, is that it? Sly. Okay, good. Let's go ahead and look at the scripture that I have for you today. Restoration series. We have this thing called Flipping the House that we watch on the channel, the TV, the whatever channel that I'm watching. Irma's watching it, makes me watch it. It's got pretty interesting. They walk into a house and they gut it and they restore it and then they sell it for double the amount, right? They flip houses. And I thought the temple of God that's within you, if you won't do it in the house of God, then you shouldn't do it when you're not in the house of God, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right, everybody? Yeah. And so let's flip the house. Let's restore it. Let's get to the place that we need to be. King David needed restoration at one point in his life. He was the greatest king that ever lived. But even as the greatest king that ever lived, he said this about restoration. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And do not banish me from your presence. Oh, how I need your presence, Jesus, right, everybody? Your presence is everything, God, to me. That's what he was saying. Take away the kingdom. Take away all the gold that I have and all the chariots. But don't take away your presence. Don't take away the Holy Spirit from me, because that would be too much. That's what David was crying out. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we make it the opposite. Don't take away the house. Don't take away the cars. Don't take away my 401. Don't take away. But Jesus, he was more worried about the Holy Spirit leaving him. And then he says restore, which is this Hebrew word for shabbat. Somebody say shabbat. Tell your neighbor shabbat. Yeah, you woke him up. Amen. And the Hebrew word is perfect for it, because it's called returning something to what it once should be. Getting back to the reset dial. That this is the way I was intended to live. This is the way I was intended to feel in my spirit, my body, and my soul. And so it says, restore to me that joy of my salvation. I don't have to be dry, thirsty. God can bring it. Make me willing to obey you. And not the tense there is the willing that you better obey. But no, I get to obey God because I'm part of his family and he's included me. Many of us live that way, where we live right on the edge. And we say, if I can just get this close to the world, I won't get burned. And I can get this close, and I'm not going to backslide, but I'm going to get real familiar with it. And before you know it, a wind comes, and a storm comes, and you're knocked over. And God wants to bring you to the place that you just front slide today, not backslide today. Let's do all that we can to get our spiritual walk in the place, the deeper things that God wants to take us to today. And thank God for restoration. All of us have things that we need to clean ourselves from. Yeah, our body, amen. Yeah, yeah. You get a shower on Friday, even if you don't need it, right, everybody? You like Nava? You'll get it at 3 a.m. You know, our soul gets contaminated, which we'll speak about today, believe it or not. You're a triune being, your body that you see, your soul that you have, your emotions, your anger, your love, your feelings that you have, amen. The tears that came out of your eyes when you were being touched by God, all that's emotion, and it's good. And then we dealt with 2 weeks ago, your spirit, which is most important. That's an eternal being that you'll have. So all of them need to be guarded today. I want to talk about 4 impurities in your spirit. Are you with me on your notes? And there's contamination that can come to the house, the temple. I believe that there's like 20 of them that I could list as I studied, but I'm not going to give you 20 because of our time. I believe these are the top 4. And so 4 contaminants, and right there the Bible says, why are you so down in the dumps? What does it say, dear what? And that word controls you so much that your spirit can't even get up, that you can't feel anything of God. I've been there. How about you? You get so hurt that you can't receive. I don't even want to come to church, let alone hear somebody tell me, because you're so messed up on the inside. We've all been there. Amen. Boy, yeah, it's quiet in this Baptist church. Amen. But so this is what we want. I don't want my emotions to rule me so much that it takes over my spiritual life. Do y'all get that? I want my spirit to say, because it wants God. It does. I want the spirit to say, come here. You're coming with me. Submit, soul. Somebody, oh, I'm tired. I'm dizzy. No. Submit right now. You're coming with me. It desires a thing. It wanted to come to church this morning. The pillow didn't, but you did, right? Amen, everybody? So that if you'll get soul, spirit controlled and let that soul submit to the spirit, you'll have a better life. Yeah, and so I want to give you a better life today. These are the top soul infections, top soul impurities that come into our temple. The first one, believe it or not, I know it's strange, it's unforgiveness. Write that in. Somebody shout unforgiveness. Yeah, resentment, bitterness, how somebody treated me, and you go, I'll show them. And you contaminate yourself, and your heart gets messed up, and you can't see clearly. And we'll talk about, really, in a moment, who you hang with, but let me move on here. Hold on, and you hold on to it. Unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire because you're so offended by that person. You set yourself on fire in front of them, and you want them to die from smoke inhalation. And you're waiting for them to die, and you're the one dying. Y'all understand that? And that's why Hebrews says 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And I love that scripture because I think about how, if anything, living faith has a mark on it about the grace of God. And it's in our DNA. Irma and I love people. And we've learned about just how we've needed the grace of God in our lives and how we need to give the grace of God away to people. And so I'm not going to be short on it. I'm going to be real giving on that today. And how the grace of God is so good to us and how it, but this is what aborts it right now. Look at it with me. And see to it that no bitter root, you better deal with that. Or here's what's going to happen. That root's going to grow up and it's going to cause a bunch of trouble. But not only that, not only trouble to your house, your temple, but look where it says, and defile what? Your stink is affecting everybody. You're carrying it around because you're unforgiving. And it reminds me of that Porfulio story. Remember Porfulio? He was like, man, he walked into the bar, you know, and he had this big lump on his chest. And Julano said, hey, primo, what's that big lump on your chest, Julano? He said, man, he said, because every day I come in here and Lopez comes in here and he slaps me real hard and he breaks my cigarros. He breaks my cigarritos. You know, he breaks them in half when he slaps me on the chest like that. He said, so I put dynamite right here. And when he slaps me on the chest, I'm going to blow up his hand. You'll get that. That's funny. I don't care what you say. You're going to blow yourself up, Porfulio, amen, because you don't forgive, right? And we carry it so long, and God is saying, let it go, let it go, let it go, amen. I could sing it better than they did Disney, amen. Let it go, man. That's not fair, I hear. I just wanted a barbecue in my backyard, but that dog next door, that's not fair. I wanted a happy marriage, but him, that's not fair. And you don't want to go down the road of being fair. Because if you play that game, your sins aren't going to get paid for. It wasn't fair that Jesus, as an innocent man, took all your sins and my sins on the cross to forgive you. So don't play the fair game. It's not, life isn't fair, amen. Just keep forgiving. Set yourself free because Jesus has forgiven you. You must forgive others, and so set yourself free, amen. The second thought, it's quiet in this Baptist church. I know you're thinking, comparison. And what are they doing? And we care too much about the opinion of people. And if anything we have right now in America is this identity crisis. And what are people thinking about me? And our smartphones have made us stupid. Because our identity is really found in Twitter, and Facebook, Instagram. We're thinking, that's the way they are. That's the way I should be. That's the comparison. I want that many likes now. They like that so much, I'm going to break my record of my old picture. And we find the identity, and I know you're laughing for a reason. How many likes did I get? And so, I the saddest thing I saw recently, Irma and I were eating together, and there was a couple with three kids, and they were eating. We were eating a good Mexican restaurant, and they were texting. And even the little chavalon, the little kids, man, they were texting too. All of them had smartphones, all of them had phones, and they were all, and I think, because I was being kind of fees going, right? Don't let me go to a restaurant with you. I'm looking around. I think they never talked to each other while they were doing is looking down, texting, never talking. The children never had a conversation. And I think one of them said, hey, pass me the tortillas. And they text, and they got the tortillas because amen. Hey, I'm hungry right now. Can you tell? Amen. Who liked what? Who did what? And that's all you care. We're allowing culture to define our marriages. We're allowing Facebook to define what love is. We're allowing our culture and the news to define what sex is, what marriage is, what true marriage is. And it's changing us, and there's an assault on it today. And I'm coming back, and you said, come on, you're making such a big deal, preacher, about comparison. Well, look what the Bible says about it. James chapter 3, verse 14. Some of you have it on your phone, are here. But do not harbor bitter envy. Like me, amen, because you like them. Selfish ambition. Want that, I want that, because they have it, and I saw it, what they did this summer in your hearts. And do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but where does it come? It comes from earth. It's unscriptural, and you think, well, it's demonic. You think the Bible's passive on this? No, it's not. It's telling us not to be passive about how we compare ourselves with people. And for there is envy, boy, I wish I had that. Selfish ambition, you will find disorder in every evil practice. And we're looking around and we're trying to think, what do they think about me? It doesn't matter the opinion of man. Let's begin to think about what God is thinking of us today, amen? That's what counts today. I invite you to do what I'm going to do because I have to do it now. I got so anointed first service. I know y'all ain't getting it today because they were amening better. They were giving me the preacher. They were giving me money at the end of it. They were running up giving me money. Can you believe that? They were that anointed. I'm messing with you on that part. But here's what, for 6 days, I'm just going to get off social media. And you know what? Isn't that stupid for even me to say that? Because that's how much it has us. That's how much we're checking our phones all the time. That's what I'm going to do. I will get off social media for 6 days. I'm going to come back to it eventually. But for 6 days, imagine every time that I check Facebook, that I read the Bible, or I quoted a scripture, or I prayed a prayer instead of looking at my Facebook, or looking at my Twitter, or looking at my Instagram account. Imagine if I did that, how much more God would be with me in my soul realm, and how much I would stop comparing myself with others. Imagine my marriage in 6 days. Imagine what I'm going to think about my children, about my church. That's what I'm going to be weird that way. I don't know about the rest. I'm not going to be normal. How about you? Young people, if you're in this room today, find your identity in God. And there's no better love letter that you can get from God than the Bible on a daily basis. You plug into that. If you're a young man here going into high school, or a young person going into middle school here in this room, and you get your identity from God, not from who your friends are. Don't let culture define you. And so the third thought is this. Somebody say anger. People are upset. They're very angry. You get on 410 or 1604, don't you see it? And so there's this skunk anger, and that's where you stink up the whole place. Some of us are skunks. We walk into the room where you getting mad and everybody sees it and everything gets messed up because you're in there. But some of us have that turtle anger, which is a little bit more dangerous. And that's kind of like this volcano within. The volcano comes and it just erupts and it spills out on everybody. They say the American culture is more upset than ever before. We're upset with our government. We're upset with our school. We're upset with our marriage, our economy, our traffic patterns, and on it goes. And all of that junk, because of anger, can contaminate the temple of God and contaminate your soul. And that's why James 2,000 years ago had an answer for the church. And James arrives here and he tells us this: what causes fights and quarrels among you? And if I were to ask you that, well, you don't know who I'm married to. That's who I'm. You don't know my boss, man. My boss does. He causes that fight within me. And so why are you mad, bro? Have you met my boss? Why are you mad, bro? Have you met my wife? Have you seen my children? You have those perfect kids. You come live in my house. Amen. It says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? I've noticed the common denominator in all the fights I've been in, either verbally and sometimes fist. When I was little, I ran a lot. Amen. Away. But every fight that I've been in with someone, you know what the common denominator is? I'm there. Go figure. So maybe I have something to do with it. Boy, y'all are, man, maybe I, first service, come back. First service, please. Amen. I have this ability that God has given me, and I've tried to steward it well. I've tried to make it better through the years. And I can speak, and I know how to get what I want. See, you preach, but I also know, those of you who know me, don't nod your head so much. Come on, don't be bad. That I can also get what I want. But, and you know what happened? My killer words, they've gone down to my children. Andrew and Rebecca have it too. So y'all pray for Irma. Amen. She has three of us that she has to face, right? And so we kill. You desire, but you have not, so you kill. Yeah, I didn't kill anybody, but you kill with your words. Yeah. You covet, but you cannot have what you want. I have a right. Again, all I wanted was to get on that turn lane, but that guy cut me off. And then you give him, you know, the one-handed peace sign or whatever you give him as you drive away. So you quarrel. I know nobody would do, you know, don't put a bumper sticker that you go to Living Faith if you're going to be doing that, right? So you quarrel and you fight because you do not have, because you do not ask who? And so, Lord, it's them. No, it's us. We're the ones that are sick. Sick soul, the government's fault. No, you're the one that's messed up. And if you ask God, and if you ask God to get involved in your life, things will change. It's not the government's fault. Let's deal with number one here first, right, everybody? Finally, worry. Worry has this primo, our cousin. It's called fear. And some of us have gotten to that realm. I worry. Sometimes I get into the realm of fear. Worry is assuming the responsibility that God never intended you to have. Worry tries to change the past, control the future, but it contaminates your now. Let's be real honest as you look at this. Watch this. Look, every one of us worry in this room. The question is what you do with that worry when it comes to you. You can pray it away, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to keep worrying. Some of us, we worry twice. Worry when it doesn't happen, and you're worried about if it's going to happen, and then you worry that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen, and it never happens. I was raised in a generation where things came out on the news, just like they still do every year. There was this thing last year. Do you remember the four blood moons or the blood moons that were going to happen? Do y'all remember that? It was all over the media, and then even the Christians got a hold of it, and they said the world's going to end because of these blood moons. So I walked out with my dogs, and I got to see the blood moon as I walked around. It was a beautiful sight. I tried to film it, but, you know, these go to the cameras and stuff. And nothing ever happened, and they said the world was going to end. There was this thing a couple years ago called the swine flu, and everybody was supposed to get it, and there was going to be an epidemic. This year it's a Zika. When I was a kid, there was this thing called mad cow disease or something like that, and everybody was going to, you couldn't eat hamburgers anymore, and prices went up. And I don't remember anybody really getting mad cow. I'm sure somebody did, and God bless. If y'all know somebody, come, don't rebuke me too much at the end of the service, but I'm still standing after all these years with all these atrocities. I remember one epidemic that was going to be so bad. Check this out. They said the Alamo Dome was going to be filled with cots. It was going to be like this quarantine center, like a zombie thing that was going to happen, and nobody was going to be allowed. It was going to be that bad. And the Alamo Dome, good news, never opened up with the cots. So there's going to be bad news tomorrow, and are we going to worry about it? Are we going to go on and turn our worry into prayer and give it to God? Even though the earth shakes, my God is with me. Give me a good amen. Yeah, I'm not going to worry twice. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, 27, can any of you, Nava, Bob, Sue, whoever your name is today, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Is it going to extend? I will die at the appointed time that I'm supposed to die because God's told me that. Give me a good amen. And so that's what you got to leave it in. It's not about earth, my perfect life. It's here and now. No, it's not. It's about your life and how you have heaven come to it today. There's a scripture in Proverbs that speaks of about the center point of your life, the soul realm of your life. And so when you have the center point of your life, everything else flows from that. And it's your emotions. It's your temperament, your feelings. And if that gets messed up, check this out. The river of God won't flow. The flow of God won't happen in your life. And you don't want that to get clogged up with any of the four that I just told you. So I'm going to give you the right things to put in. So if you take something out, you got to put something back in, right? So these are good things to put back in, right? Let's look at them. Number one, right relationships. Is that okay with everybody? Some of us just want just me and my Diosito. Me and my God. I'm so upset with that group of people. I'm never going to go to church again, and so me and God are going to live in a cave or a closet. No. God's intended you to be a person that comes out of the cave and have relationship with people. It may not be this church, but it could be, and I thank God if it is this church, amen, because we need you, but you need us today. And so God's solution for your life wouldn't be that you would isolate yourself and you and Diosito would go pray in the closet. No, you're called to relationship, that your sins are forgiven. Because you confess to one another. You can't confess to the whole church, but you can have a small group. And that's why it's so important that you come into relationship with people. Iron sharpens iron today, amen? So there's somebody in your life, and it goes like this with me, Nava. I go, hey, I'm about to jump. Talk me off the ledge like you used to. And they go ahead, you know what, man? I'm right there with you. I was just like that. And you're going to be okay. And they talk me off the ledge for the 45th time, and I don't jump. You need someone like that in your life, and you'll find it in a small group, because it's not so much about what y'all study, what y'all get together with the food that you bring. It's more about getting together, because when you get together and you're in a small group of four or five people, something begins to happen. Your relationship develops, amen? And you know what? During the season, I'm not afraid of anyone beginning a small group with just maybe doing disc golf. Are going to restaurants and say we like to go once a week to a restaurant or have lunch. But during that time, you pray and you talk. You don't always have to open up a Bible to have a small group. Some of the best times I've had with my relationship group is when we're laughing and then we're transparent. Yeah, my family has a need. Remember me in prayer. Do y'all get that today? So let small groups happen and explode in this church because it needs to take over. Sunday mornings are great, but the small group is where life happens. Right, everybody? And so we'll continue big time in September. So here's my worry. Here's my concern. Church, amen. I'm going to take off the mask in the small group. And here we go. I need 5 minutes. Talk me off the edge. Killers come out of nowhere. And there's a killer waiting for you to kill your right relationships and not have them. And they're going to be haters. Youth, young people, there's a great man in our church. It says he says it in Spanish a lot better, so I'm going to say it in English. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you your... who you are and what your future is. Yeah, he says that. And that's so true. So young people, the killers are going to be waiting for you on your campus. They're going to kill your dreams. They're going to kill your future. They're going to abort that. But what you need to do is get around the people that are world changers. If you're the only world changer in your school, you won't be for long because it's infectious. It'll get around other people. You'll change that group that you're in. You don't need a bunch of friends. You need some friends that will give you a good future and a hope. Amen. That are positive. That's why Proverbs is so true in 13:20. Are you there with me? Let's read it together. You haven't had any fun all day. On three, read it out loud, not out soft. 1, 2, 3. He who walks with the wise, but he's the companion of fools. There's lots of fools out there, amen, but we need to grow wise, right? Don't be a fool. The thought right here, the God-defined identity. God made you. He wrote the owner's manual on you. You ever have your clock that needs to be reset on your car, but you don't know how to do it? Read the owner's manual. You know that God has written the owner's manual on you? You're wonderfully, infinitely made by God. And so he can reset you today. He can restore you. If God made you, he can help you today. And that's why Galatians 4:6 says, make a careful exploitation of who you are and what work that you've been given to do, because the world's going to give you an identity. And then sink yourself into that. I'm going to go crazy doing what I'm supposed to do because I have this God-given gift. During the early years of Living Faith Church, not that we're real old here, but we're not, right? But we've been, like, we're 15, man, something years, been a church since 1998. Y'all do the math better than me. And those of you who have been lifers here, I would watch these preachers on TV that were so anointed, and they had these big congregations, and they would do, like, they would preach, and they would say something like this, and I would try to copy them. This is the day that the Lord has made. And they would, and people would go, yeah. They would go crazy just by saying that. And so I came up and I would say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I would get that. Nothing would happen. And they're like, come on, man, give me some more. And so I went through several, like, things of that. Like, man, I'm going to copy this guy. I'm going to copy that guy. And I just had to come to the point that, you know what, God, man, you made Mario. And you made an original. And I got to be Mario. And you got to be you. Amen. God made you. Amen. And if we copy so many people, we forget who we are. And God just wants to develop you because he has this great gift within you. Let me read the scripture again. Don't be impressed with yourself, but do not compare yourself with others. Do you hear that today? That's why I'm so excited that in a few weeks, we're going to begin the Growing in Faith class. And when it launches, you can go in and get your spiritual, really, gift on what God made you for and how he wired you and what you're meant to do in life. And then you can develop that gift because we're all stewards in life. We just have our talent on loan from God for a little bit. Right, everybody? And so growing in faith is happening. The third point is this. Learn to live a crucified life. Doesn't mean that you're going to die physically, but you find out those things that aren't honoring God. And they're usually attitudes, like in my life. And if they don't honor God, then you put them to death daily. It's a lifestyle. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, and he said this, I've been crucified with who? Are y'all with me? Yeah. He was crucified with Christ. That means Jesus took the, I no longer live, but Christ lives where? And the life that I live in this body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right, everybody? And so it goes something like this, a sample prayer. Father, I know that person's going to be in front of me that I don't really like. And I know that you need to give me patience, Lord, with them. And would you love on them? Would you meet them, Lord? Would you help me to be patient with people today? Father, restore my love for people, Lord. Lord, even though I don't like that person, Lord, I'm supposed to love them. So, Lord, help me to love people today. Help me to love you, Lord, because I can't love you if I'm not loving people. And I make a prayer like that, and you can too, because it doesn't take a great theologian to pray that, right, everybody? And it changes you. You ever notice how dead people can't offend you? They're dead. You know, if it's been pulled over or the casket, you go, you the worst person ever. You're a jerk. They're dead. And you're called to be dead. Not to be a floor mat that they put their feet all over. But there's a way of just saying, you know what? Hey, your craziness ain't going to affect me anymore. I forgive you. I'm walking on. Give me a good amen. Hey, you love people. Show me the next slide. I'm real excited about this one. I can't wait for you to see this one. Here it goes. The 1995 Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Last time they won a Super Bowl. Seems like a long, long time ago, and it was. Some of us were young, amen, back then when they won. Your hair, you had a lot more hair like I did. And so in 1995, Barry Switzer, a college coach that got transferred to the NFL, Jerry hired him, became this coach. In his second season, there's number 8 on the first row. And guys like Darryl Johnson, Charles Haley, Larry Allen, this kicker, number 1 right there on the slide next to Troy, his name was Bonio. He was like a foreign guy. He was just like a soccer member, that guy. He was pretty consistent. And Nate Newton, Troy Aikman, Emmett Smith, the great Michael Irwin too, they were all part of this team. And what was incredible about this team is that they laid down where they came from, because some of them came out of the hood. Some of them came out of the inner city. Some of them came from farm country, rural farm country. Some of the Dallas Cowboys came from, you know, just nice living. They were golden spoon in their mouth or whatever it might be. And here's what happened, how they approached the season. They were going to play the Pittsburgh Steelers for Super Bowl 30, and they decided that they were going to win that bowl game. They were going to win the Super Bowl, the final Super Bowl that they won. And if you're saved, if you're really saved, they're going to win another one. But if you don't believe that, you're not saved. Give me a good answer. And so what they did, with all the personalities on this team, some had outgoing personalities, check that out. Some were, they would light up the room. Some were kind of quiet. Some didn't have the personalities that the other ones did. Some had one specific thing they did. Some had many things that they did. But all of them came together, and they wore the uniform. And the uniform was blue and gray like it is in that star, America's team, God's team. Amen. The gospel of the Dallas Cowboys. And they won the Super Bowl that year, all because they weren't arguing about, look, I come from the hood, you don't. Or I was rich and you weren't as privileged. I got a GED, you did. They didn't worry about that. You're black, I'm white, you're brown, I'm purple, whatever it might be. All colors came together and they unified and they won a Super Bowl. And can I announce to you, church at Living Faith, the Living Faith Church, see, the world is watching us. This is just a holy huddle today. We have to leave the huddle and go into the world. See, the world, they paid $5,000 tickets or whatever they paid to get to that Super Bowl. And they weren't interested in so much what happened in that huddle. They called the play Arizona 13. Emmett was going to run it up. Arizona 13! Arizona 13! And they knew Emmett had to line up, and they ran it. Man, I love the play calling, right? I could be a quarterback again if I wanted to. In my head, right? And they ran the play, and they executed, and they won. And God has called Living Faith to come together on Sunday mornings, come together on Wednesday nights, and it's just a huddle. But you know where the real game begins, or the real life-changing moment, or where we get the Super Bowl title? Because the world's not interested what happens in this room. The world's interested on Monday morning when I'm out there, when I'm out there with a few of y'all, y'all are praying with us, and we're doing the work of God with the students at John Jay. And we're raising up signs, free prayer, we're going to bless students. That's what the world's watching. They don't really care about. They want us to be a different maker. They want us to change their community. They want us to create a safe place for their children. They want us to build something so great that their community can come to, and it changes their life. Do y'all hear me today? And you're up there worried about someone that's messing you up next to you, and somebody that's taking away a little bit of feeling from you, and you're saying, and we just can't have that. Do you understand that? Or we're not going to do anything for the kingdom of God. We're going to make a little dent. And I'm not interested. I've come too far. I've worked too hard. How about you? Yeah. And so I got to live life the right way, where I'm thinking, you know what? This is just a crucified life. I got to give that up a little bit so I can get the bigger prize, so I can unify with my brother and sister, and we can become the champ. We have one team color, and it's the blood of Jesus. And that identifies us, and we raise the flag of God with the cross on it, and we say, come here, and you'll be redeemed like I was redeemed. Right, everybody? Are you mad, Pastor? No, I'm getting good. Amen. Give me a good amen. I'm getting saved now. How about you? The final one is this. We need to finish up. Amen. There it was. Boom. Amen. It hit. Eternal perspective. You got that? Earth was never designed to make you happy. Your perfect life, well, now we got everything, two cars, we got a dog, we got the house. And God forbid, but it happens to us. You go to the doctor and he says, you got this thing in your body. I don't want that to happen to anybody in this room, but Earth isn't supposed to make you happy. And the quicker that you identify that, and if you're messed up right now in here and in here, it's because you banked on Earth too much to make you happy. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in the government. I'm disappointed in the election thing that we have to choose from. I'm very disappointed in that. How about you? I got to go. I'm disappointed in the Middle East. I'm disappointed in ISIS, the way it's behaving. I'm disappointed, but I'm not discouraged, because there's something higher that I'm reaching towards. And it may not work out for me, just like it may not work out for you on this earth, but it's going to work out for me in heaven, and that's where my home is. How about yours? And so this final slide, which is about passing through, is so incredible. This guy's name, Masir Kamim Nassin. And I wish he would have had a name like Sue or Bob or whatever. But for 11 years, he was a man without his country. They even made a movie about his life called The Terminal, Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks was a lot better looking, right, than that guy. For 11 years, he lived in a Paris airport terminal. They let him live in Terminal 1. So they made that movie, Terminal 1, where Tom Hanks portrayed this guy. And what happened was he was an Iranian citizen, and he landed and tried to go to England, but he didn't have a passport. So England said, no, you're not getting into our country. You don't have a passport, so go back. So Paris took him, but they wouldn't let him outside the airport. And so he had to stay in Terminal 1. They said he cleaned the restrooms for money. He got little odd jobs, but all of his stuff, look at it. It's in Terminal 1. And people would walk by and see him. He would write in his diary. That's how he passed his time. 11 years later, Paris came, the officials, and they said, here's an international pass. 11 years being in an airport, living in an airport, sleeping in an airport. Here's an international passport. You can now travel where you want. You've even become a Paris, a citizen of France. You can live in France if you want to. And what he did was, as he was writing, they gave it to him, and all these officials, he sat there and he just kept writing. History shows. Just kept writing. Because he got so glued to being in that terminal, the airport, that became his home. That became his home. And I think sometimes that airports, as interesting as they are, as nice as they are with the food court that they have in them and that sort of thing, they're not meant to be your home. You're just passing through. You're getting on a plane to go somewhere that's your home or going to visit someone. In this earth, if you're not careful, just like it affects me, can become your home. And you can look at it as a Christian as your home, because it sure is interesting in earth. I have some nice stuff. How about you? I've been blessed just like you have been blessed. But it's not my home. I'm passing through. So I need to get up and leave the airport just like you do. And I need to leave the earth one day, amen. And Paul says, I'm an alien here. He was like an alien before they even had the Roswell, amen. He said, I'm an alien in this land. And he would speak of that consistently in his journey. And so in Colossians, the final scripture, let's read it together. Let's look at what we're supposed to be looking at, right? What we're supposed to be aiming towards, Paul told us. 1, 2, 3. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your emotions on things. Yeah. Where's your hope today? And that's the final blank, what you'll do. I don't know what you need to move away from today or what you need to do, but you should fill in the blank today. What is the Holy Spirit telling you today? Speak, Holy Spirit. Do more right now in this moment than I can do with a bunch of letters and words on a page today. We want hope today, Lord. Bow with me and pray. Father, I thank you that if there's unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord, you would check us. If there's comparison, Lord, in an unhealthy way, Lord, check us, Lord. If there's anger, Lord, let it be a holy anger, Lord. Let it not the sun go down on it like it says in the scriptures. Let's deal with that right now, Lord. If there's worry, Lord, I pray that every worry in the beloved saints in this room, Lord, they would turn it into a prayer. I believe in the people of living faith that they're going to make the right choices today. As you continue to pray with me, I pray that you would have an eternal outlook. And sometimes we have to get to the point of saying, what if your heart stopped beating? What would happen to your eternal life? What would your spirit reside in? Heaven is your home. This isn't your home. Let Jesus pay for your sins today. Some of us have gotten so religious that we wore a mask even into church. And God is saying, take off that mask and be yourself. And your heart's distant. You do all the right things in church, but you don't have a relationship with God, and God wants to be that person in your life, and nobody else matters but Jesus now. Amen. And so if that's you in this room, no matter who you are, would you say, that's me, I need prayer, Pastor, lead me in a prayer. I won't embarrass you, but I will note your hand. If you'll lift it right now, I'll have a special prayer for you. I'll lead you in a prayer. Anyone saying, God bless you, sir, you can put your hand down. Anyone else? My brother lifted his hand. Anybody else? Just making sure. God bless you, son. I love you. I was just like that young man that said, I want a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus won't disappoint you, son. He won't disappoint you, my brother. Two people raised their hand. Let's pray this in our hearts today. Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. I'm far away from you, Lord. I'm so thankful that you're close to me, Jesus. You're near. You forgive me of my sins. Say something like that. I confess them, Lord. So many, but Lord, you died for each sin. Thank you, Jesus. You've given me a new hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Fill these precious vessels with your Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The connection cards that are in front of you are meant to be there, and you fill those out, and I'll pray for you. I'll believe God for your miracle. Make sure that you mark them and tell me what God has done in your life today. I'll share that with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're visiting for the very first time today, I would find it just an honor to shake your hand. I'll be in the cafe at the conclusion of the service. If you'll come there also, check this out, and you never got your first gift, we want to give you a gift. We have gifts ready for you as a first-time visitor, first-time guest, and you'll have that for me. I prepared a video for you to show you. I believe we can see it right now. Man Up is coming October 15th, a Saturday. I want the men of God in this house to be ready for it. And so immediately following the video, Howard and Sonia Varial are going to receive a miracle offering that we're going to receive today. It's going to be a miracle because of their miracle story, and they're bringing that miracle anointing to us this morning. And so they're going to be able to show you on the screen how to give to Living Faith Church. They'll bless the tithe and the offering. Amen. And so God bless you as we see this. We can show it, sir, and turn down the lights. Thank you.